So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
With the Holy Spirit. We just had Pentecost Sunday, and it used to be a tradition in the church that we had 8 days for a octave of Pentecost, and we can still do this. We can still celebrate for 8 days. It's a beautiful way to continue to remember the season and to ponder, especially the Holy Spirit, who often seems like such an anomaly to us. Little known in comparison to Jesus Christ and even God the Father. So all week we'll be talking about the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and much more. Today in a little bit we'll talk about why the Holy Spirit being a part of our lives is fundamental for our happiness. Joining me will also be a fashion expert and makeup artist, where we'll discuss a couple, I think, key things in terms of your wardrobe. And gentlemen, I really do think this applies to you too, so don't go away. This idea of being intentional with our style, kind of finding the balance with, you know, is it vain to like clothes? We'll also discuss how to find nice clothing on a budget and why editing your closet is a good idea. You're listening to Trending with Timory. We'll be unpacking the Holy Spirit all week here as a theme. I want to unpack first the idea of why an octave in Pentecost. It used to be that Pentecost in the traditional form was always part of the church history. It was actually one of the largest celebrations because it was an octave in the liturgical year. And over the last 60 years, it's that custom of the octave of Pentecost has been lost, but it's still something that many people choose to turn to as part of the ancient tradition of our Catholic faith. And I think that there's been a great discredit to knowledge and understanding of the Holy Spirit because we've lost this season specifically dedicated to the Holy Spirit, the coming, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We're going to pray a prayer together in just a little bit, and there's this ending to the prayer that says, the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And so often we forget that the great gift of Christ on the cross is even further given to us and clarified when he sends forth his Spirit as he returns to the Father, that he literally gives his life for you and I. And so we have to ponder more often this understanding of the Holy Spirit who has been given to us and who dwells in us. Now, when the church has an octave, 8 days, that means that it treats those 8 days as the actual feast day itself. For example, we have the Easter octave, we have the Christmas octave, and here we're talking about the Pentecost octave. And what it's saying is this is an opportunity for us to linger on and savor a particular teaching and feast day within the church. And this is so important here and now because so often I think we just bulldoze through the seasons and we lose perspective with the cultural things that are happening. Isn't it ironic that Easter and Christmas come, they're these huge events, yet Pentecost comes and we don't have kind of these cultural celebrations in the same way as we do for Easter and Christmas. So it's a little easier to kind of throw it out the door because it is. It's the birth of the church. And that is what's so fundamental about the coming of the Holy Spirit. The church is alive in you and I today. And so we need to savor it over the next 8 days. And I'll give you a few ways of how you can celebrate this Pentecost season. But notice, and I'm going to emphasize this, these 8 days are an opportunity for us to pay attention to the celebration. You see, the Holy Spirit is infinite in power. Infinite in power, because he is God. And so when Jesus Christ says that he's given us the Holy Spirit, he's given us the life of God himself. And this should be cause for confidence in each and every single one of us, because we literally have his dwelling in us, not just as an intercession, but acting and moving upon our body and our members. You know, I've often heard it put this way, that there's this great instrument, and you may be the instrument, but it's God who's playing you. You have the body, but God is working through the orchestra to enact what is happening in the world if we are only willing. And it is, Lucas just commented, it is mind-blowing when we really think about what the church is offering us, what God is offering us in the Holy Spirit's presence, and what the church is offering and saying, here are 8 days that the history of the church has celebrated and remarked upon this. And I always come back, a friend of mine said this the other day. She's someone who has a lot of health struggles, and she got married last year and is already expecting her first baby. And her first comment, because the expectation was that she might not be able to have children, she said, God is so faithful. This is so clearly made and emphasized, I think, through Christ sending the Holy Spirit just days after his ascension to heaven. He makes it so clear, God is faithful. He follows through. And when my friend said that the other day about how she was able to have a child, incredibly beautiful faith, she said, God is so faithful. Why was she able to say that? Because she recognizes that everything we have is a gift from God. And so even if she wasn't able to have a child, she would still understand God's faithfulness. But she purely understands that the child she does have is an absolute gift from God. And so this is our challenge. We need to work on asking for the light of the Holy Spirit to dwell in our lives, to inspire our actions. We need to ask and know what the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit, which is why this week we are going to celebrate the old tradition of the Pentecost octave of talking about the Holy Spirit, getting to know the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I think one of the greatest travesties of having thrown out this octave of Pentecost is that we've neglected the Holy Spirit and lost an understanding of him as a result. And so here are some ways, I'll give you 4 ways that you can work on a greater understanding of the Holy Spirit and celebrate this Pentecost octave. Number one, always go to Mass, receive our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the best way to celebrate any liturgical season. Second, read about the Holy Spirit. There's this tiny little book I read last year. Phenomenal book. It's titled In the School of the Holy Spirit. Father Jacques Philippe. Excellent book. 10 out of 10 recommend. It's actually, I think, my favorite book I read last year. And it was the smallest, simplest book. I highly recommend it. So read. And it doesn't have to be that book, but that's one I'd recommend. It's accessible. And it's something we can meditate upon. The third thing I want to encourage you to do is pray. Pray with the Holy Spirit. Pray to the Holy Spirit. Maybe this might even include writing and journaling. You know, what do you think about the Holy Spirit? How has the Holy Spirit revealed himself to you? Sometimes when we take a pen and paper, it's a little easier to meditate and pray when we journal through our prayer time. And fourth, the fourth way for you to live out this season of Pentecost right now, these 8 days, in the Pentecost octave, is to join me here on Trending. We're going to have themes going through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit truly transforms our lives. And we'll even pray a prayer here a little later on. There's a prayer, and we'll post on social media as well, that you can pray with your family through all 8 days of this Easter octave. And in a little bit, we'll talk about why having the Holy Spirit in our lives truly does make us happier. You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray here on Relevant Radio. Joining me now is Nicole Caruso. She's a professional makeup artist and beauty consultant, and she recently wrote the book Worthy of Wearing. And we're going to talk about these ideas that challenge all of us. And you're joining us during our weekly happy hour, having to do with clothing, vanity, basically where our faith meets culture. And so we're going to discuss some really tactful ways for finding nice clothing on a budget and why editing your closet is a good idea, but also how we understand and distinguish in our own lives between vanity and having an intentional personal style and enjoying it. Welcome to Trending, Nicole.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'm really enjoying your beautiful new book. It's really a tabletop book, worthy of wearing. And you have so many images of people and kind of helping people to understand and better navigate the idea of fashion from a faith-based perspective. And this, I would say, is also relevant to men as well, because I think it's easy for men to kind of wonder where they should, you know, do we throw fashion out the door? Do we keep it? And I know a lot of yours perspective comes from a female perspective, but I want to touch on this first key idea that you touch on, and that is overcoming this trend in the culture where women are told that you have to be hot and available and young. And if you're not hot, available, and young or young looking, you're irrelevant. And it's fascinating because this, I think, attitude of so many women today, either they feel the pressure or even in a faith-based perspective, they can feel guilty for enjoying style in their lives. So how do we find the balance?
I'm so glad you brought this up, because this is something that, you know, as someone who worked in the fashion industry and kind of saw the belly of the beast firsthand, it was really interesting because, of course, I carried my Catholic faith with me, but there was such a separation between understanding what faith is and how it informs our life and gives beauty to our life, and then to fashion as in the industry, which, yes, they create theatrics and yes, they create beautiful things, but they're idea of beauty is so distorted, as you said. There's this promotion of, if you're not, like you said, hot, young, available, if you're not sexy, it's not beautiful. And I truly believe our Lord defines beauty in a much different way. And that is the beauty of our soul and the beauty of our virtue and our pursuit of holiness. And he gives us so many incredible gifts to share with the world. He gives us a mission and purpose. And we really owe it to him to put our best foot forward in this world to represent our Catholic faith and represent that we are Christians and followers of him. So I have really made it my mission to try to find common ground and bring the beauty of our faith, and also acknowledge that, yes, clothes can be beautiful, but they can also lead us down a path of falling into vanity or falling into materialism or, you know, pride. But I think if we start to examine our intention in getting dressed every day, examine our intention in our behavior and how we want to put ourselves out into the world, we can really sort of take away the stigma that fashion is only for the unholy, the materialistic, the frivolous, and really show that it can be something very edifying and virtue driven.
You know, I keep thinking, Nicole, about how little kids from an early age love fashion, whether it's the little boy and his love for his Spider-Man outfit, his Indiana Jones outfit, the Batman outfit, the muscles versus no muscles in the costumes. And then you have little girls. For example, I was spending the weekend with some of my little cousins, and one of the six-year-olds during her rest time for the day is peeping her head out of the room, and she is adorned in a crown, multiple necklaces, jangling bracelets, and she has like these three or four sets of clip-on earrings on her ears. She looked like the cross between a princess and a gypsy. It was excellent. And it kept making me think, Nicole, about how from a very young age, we have this love naturally for what we wear and what it represents about us. So is this an innate part of who we are? That is how we dress.
Well, we are definitely drawn to beauty. I think that's something that gives us wonder. It kind of takes us by surprise. And, you know, you look at the author of life, the creator of the universe is our Lord. So he creates the most beautiful things. And I think we do stop. And I know I myself, as a young girl, I loved all the sparkly things and all the colorful things. And my daughter now, who's seven, just absolutely loves to twirl around in dresses and play dress up. And I think it's important to be imaginative. It's important to let yourself delight in something, as long as that beauty is an echo back to our Lord, our Creator. It's when we try to kind of make it our own, in a sense that it is taking away the beauty of the Creator, distorting that beauty. That's when it can be a slippery slope.
Let's dive a little bit into this idea of beauty. This is so important for women in particular, but I'll never forget years ago, the chastity speaker, Jason Everett, was speaking at a conference. He was talking about how he walked into the men's restroom and there was this beautiful image of a bunch of women's legs, only their legs, a bunch of legs lined up. And he thought, I wonder if I were to walk into the ladies' restroom, if they would have a nice long image above the mirror, above the sinks, of a bunch of hairy men's legs. And I remember this day, the story just makes me laugh so hard. Because it's true, we as a culture have put so much emphasis on beauty and the beauty of a woman, yet so often, or never at all, women are ever taught about what beauty is, and that beauty has to do with who they are on the inside, who they were created as, not just the compilation of their parts and how they physically represent their body. That's only a glimpse of the beauty of the human person.
Oh, yes. It's the tip of the iceberg. I mean, it's one thing to see, you know, a painting of a beautiful woman from, you know, let's say the Renaissance era. It is another thing to sit across a table and talk with her and hear her story and find out the trials she's endured and overcome and see the virtue in her and see the way the light hits her eyes. I mean, that is just a totally different experience. And I think all of us that are striving to live a good and holy life want to greet people with that light of Christ, and want to be little beacons of his love on earth. I think of Saint Therese, you know, doing small things with great love. We may be called to a life in the world, in the public eye, or we might be called to a very simple, ordinary life where we are just serving in the recesses of quiet, you know. And God needs all of that. He needs all of that, and there is beauty in all of those different states in life.
So let's talk a little bit more about kind of finding the balance, because it is easy to struggle with vanity in terms of our clothing. So how can you become intentional with your style rather than kind of turning into pride and vanity?
Well, I think the number one thing is that I think a lot of women struggle with their self-image and their confidence because they're either falling into comparison or they're looking at the standards of the world and saying, oh, well, I don't fit into those, therefore I must be ugly. I must be unworthy. I must be, you know, why even try? You know, you hear those negative voices. And so that right there is just showing that we're worried about what people think. We're, you know, having this idea that we have to follow every trend and be completely relevant all the time and look just like you're supposed to look on the influencer page or the blog page or the magazine page. That's where we fall into materialism, and that's where we fall into vanity and wanting to be noticed based on how we look, based on our status, based on the bag we're carrying or the house we live in or the car we're driving. You know, it can be extended to lots of other things. I think it's important to bring balance when we examine, Lord, how do you see me? Invite him into this conversation. What is it that you want me to accomplish in the world? What are the gifts and talents you gave me? How can I use them for you? You know, you have to dress your body that suits your state in life. You know, if you're a mom like me and you're on the floor with your kids, it's not that practical to wear high heels on a daily basis, even though high heels are very fun sometimes when you get dressed up. You know, really thinking about those practicals and also really examining your intention. You know, is this something that's bringing me delight? Is this just something that's fun and playful? Does it suit my body? Does it suit my state in life? Is this making me feel a little bit more joyful and fun today? And so that I can be more present to the people I'm serving in my day-to-day life. These are really things that we have to kind of take and examine. And in my book, Worthy of Wearing, I created some prompts in the beginning of the book to really help people kind of go deeper there, because I really don't believe you can have great personal style when you don't know your mission and when you are very cloudy on your intention in what you're wearing. Because I think, you know, when you think of college students, you see the girls around that age, and we used to live right in DC, so we would see a lot of the Georgetown students, and you know, you see a pack of like 7 or 8 girls and they're all wearing the same outfit. Why is that? You know, because they're all trying to look this certain look. And it really takes away from the unique beauty of each of those women. So instead of seeing these beautiful individual women, you're just seeing this pack of girls all wearing the same outfit, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think it really does take some time to take it to prayer. And that may sound silly to some, but I believe that when we know who God created us to be and we let him inform that, it's much more clear and it takes a lot of the pressure off.
I guess this is my big question. When we talk about clothes being for vanity or for intentional kind of personal style and enjoying them, should clothes make women happy? Because I will be one who I love when I get, you know, a new piece of clothing and maybe you wear it over and over again too many times before you kind of balance it out into your wardrobe. Should that make us happy?
Well, I think it's okay to be delighted by a pair of shoes or even just looking down and saying, wow, I painted my nails. I took a little bit of time for myself and now my nails look nice and polished. I don't think there's anything wrong with delighting in that. Now, if it is your only source of happiness, if it's the only thing that makes you feel that you are a worthy daughter of God when you look a certain way, I think that's where you have to examine the intention there. It's really a discernment that I think is why there's so much confusion behind this whole conversation around personal style.
You're listening to Trending with Timmy here on Relevant Radio. That's Nicole Caruso, author of the book Worthy of Wearing. This topic's so important as we're balancing vanity versus intentional personal style, that we come to appreciate our style, things we like to wear, rather than kind of just going with what everyone else is doing, especially in a culture where less clothing, it seems like, the better, from swimsuits to crop tops and shorts, you name it. And that means we have to push against the culture in terms of what we're willing to buy and not just settle. I know it's always been a little bit more of a challenge to find clothes from shorts that are a proper length to even dresses, but it's worth it because when we find something that we feel confident in, comfortable, but also we enjoy, it's something good to have in our lives. So we'll come back with Nicole Caruso and we'll discuss how to find nice clothing on a budget and why editing your closet is a good idea. Also, it's our weekly happy hour, so we'll be talking about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit being a part of our life truly does make us happier. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timmery on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
This is live radio. This is totally life. You ever have a moment where there's should not be a spider in your life? There is a spider in my home studio right now, and I've called my husband in to get it, and then it drops from the ceiling as he's killing it. Oh my gosh. I hate spiders. I'm itching everywhere right now. Those do not make me happy. You're joining me during our weekly happy hour where we shall ban all spiders. Don't we need a saint for, like, banishing all spiders from a country? Because I would move there. It was St. Patrick and the snakes. Let's get rid of all the spiders. You're listening to Trending with Timmery. Nicole Caruso's with me. She's the author of Worthy of Wearing. We'll post a link to this both on social media and in the show notes for today's podcast available at relevantradio.com. It's an incredible book, Worthy of Wearing. You can place it on your tabletop. I think this is an awesome book, especially to buy young women as they're kind of working through the idea of clothing. They love magazines. This is an uplifting and positive thing that can be something that they pick up occasionally or read beginning to end. It has lots of incredible visuals in the book to enjoy and not just treat it like an academic book that no one wants to read. It truly does provide the opportunity for women to appreciate the beauty here. So again, it's Worthy of Wearing. Nicole Caruso, tell us, you're a professional makeup artist and beauty consultant. How can we find nice clothing on a budget?
Well, I think it first comes down to kind of figuring out what is missing in your closet and, you know, what do you have too much of? So I talk a little bit about this in the book about editing your closet. And I think that comes before the budget friendly option of how do we work in the style? So, you know, I really think it's important to go into your closet and find those pieces you feel great in. Like every single time you wear it, it fits well. You love the color. You may have gotten a few people say, hey, that looks so nice on you. You know, keep those things. Those things are awesome. And then the rest of it is really down to, hey, is this fitting the season of life that I'm in right now? You know, does this fit my body? Do I keep just trying this on? And every time I put it on, I take it off again because I'm just not sure I like it. That's a great time to kind of write down where the gaps are in your closet. And it really helps you shop much more intentionally. So I had this little idea with a friend of mine a few years back. We started calling the things that we were shopping for our to-buy list. So, you know, if we were looking for a black cardigan, that would just go with everything that would go on the to-buy list. If we found out that we would keep reaching for, you know, a collared shirt that we just didn't own yet, that would go on the to-buy list. And then what would happen was, you know, at the time I was actually living in New York City on the Upper East Side and on a budget of almost nothing. and we used to go into the Goodwill that was on 2nd Avenue. I think it was around 89th Street. And we would take out our little to-buy lists and we would just scour the racks of clothing. We would look for exactly what we were looking for in our budget. And lo and behold, if you went often enough, which was pretty, for us, it was every, you know, week or so, we started to really find those pieces and find that our wardrobe was getting this nice kind of rounded out. You know, it was starting to make sense. So that is my number one tip, is if you're trying to stay on a budget, you know, analyze what you have. And then you can shop anywhere from the thrift store to Saks Fifth Avenue to kind of fill those gaps and fill it in with pieces that you're actually going to wear, and kind of let go of all the things and donate those things that just haven't been serving a purpose in your wardrobe. And it will bring somebody else's life a lot of joy, I promise you.
Okay, this is a real struggle I have personally. There will be things where I finally go, okay, I'm just going to go through my closet, get rid of the things I don't wear. And then 5 years later, I'm thinking about that one thing that I got rid of and I can't find anywhere else. And so I guess my question is, what do you think about cycling through clothes and putting things away for a couple years and coming back to them if you have the space?
I think it makes sense, especially because as women, our bodies are constantly changing with our state in life, our hormones. So I have kept my postpartum jeans. They stick around, you know, for those times when I've just had a baby and I know they're going to fit me, so I can have one pair of pants that fits. And then, you know, as the body changes, as it fluctuates, I definitely will kind of take those things out of the closet, put in the things that do fit. So I think it does make sense. But I will say, as a little caveat, you know, if you're holding on to things because your great aunt bought it for you and you just can't bear to give it up, or you're just, you know, there's that necklace that your teacher gave you for some award that you got and you just can't bear to pass it on, but you really don't like it, I would just ask you to, you know, have that, pray for the gift of detachment, and really let those things go, because I promise you, when you get dressed in the morning, it will start taking less and less time. Nobody wants to spend 30 minutes getting dressed. Nobody wants to have the pile of clothes on the bed every morning that you've been trying on frantically and sweating, you know, as you're trying to make it on time to work. So we're trying to eliminate that. And I think true effortless style is actually effortless. It means your clothes fit you, they work for what you're doing every day, and you don't even have to think about it because they all go together.
What do you think about anyone who's struggling with their weight when you have a bunch of clothes in your closet and you kind of look at it as your when I fit in them type of mindset? Is that a good mindset to have, or is it frustrating both from a fashion perspective and from just an overall view of your body take?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this up. I think this is something every single person deals with, is just this idea of like, should I just keep waiting to live my life until I lose 15 pounds? And to me, the answer is definitely no. You know, we need to live each day as if it were our last. That's our Catholic perspective, right? So let's enjoy the life we have. Let's buy the clothes that fit our body right now. If some amazing thing happens where we, you know, end up exercising and eating super healthy and the weight just falls off. I truly believe God will provide. And when you need to buy clothes to fit that body, that God will provide that for you. You know, just having that abandonment and trust, because I know that when we're wearing clothes that actually fit us, it actually is not only physically more comfortable, but I think emotionally it is much more comfortable when we are just saying, you know what, I'm wearing this dress. It's not cutting off my circulation. I feel free to move. I feel confident, you know, and it does make such a difference. I remember working in the fashion industry and I one day wore this skirt that was a little bit uncomfortable. So I thought, you know, I'll belt it. And the belt didn't have any loops, but I just thought, whatever, I'll wear it anyway. And during this one particular business meeting with a sales VP, I was so distracted that my belt kept moving that I totally missed what this vice president of sales was saying to me, because all I was thinking about was my belt. You know, and we can lose that presence. We can lose that presence of mind and start to feel very insecure when we're wearing things that are physically uncomfortable and that don't suit our body. I find I'm much more present myself to my kids, to whoever I'm meeting and greeting that day, when my clothes aren't even a second thought. They're just there because, you know, I just put them on and forgot about it and went about my day.
And, you know, I think you just unlocked the key to that. Doesn't mean that they have to be frumpy or ugly or just the comfortable clothes that you wear out of the house. Because a lot of people are just kind of going for the comfy clothes because they don't want to have to think about it. But if we follow what you just said, have your buy list of the things that you look in your closet you wish you had, or the staples you need, or weeding out those things that actually don't fit you, you're going to feel much more confident when you leave the house. And I feel like, you know, this is where the whole idea of modesty comes in. You're not going to be yanking at your clothes all the time if you are wearing clothes that fit to you and cover the areas they actually should cover.
Exactly. Exactly. You're completely correct. You hit the nail on the head. You know, this is what really fuels our confidence, because we're not worrying about the belt. We're not worrying about the jeans that feel too tight around our waist, or the dress that feels too short.
So you,
yeah, exactly. Or I've been there, you know, as a young adult in Mass, that I wore a dress that was a little too short, and I kept checking to make sure the hem was still in place. You know, you're worried it's going to ride up or fly away. And, you know, I really encourage the readers of Worthy of Wearing to take their clothing for a test drive. You know, before you wear it to Mass, wear it around the house. Make sure that when you can sit and stand and the buttons don't pop open and, you know, things like that. It really does make all the difference. And it takes, you know, very little effort to kind of put these things in place. But they are habits that we have to form, and they are little muscles that we have to start working.
I really love skirts and dresses, and being a new mom, postpartum, more so nursing, there have been so many moments where I get dressed for the day, I'm about to leave, you know, when we do leave the house, and I'm like, oh, I would have to take this whole dress off in order to feed the baby. And I think that a lot of women kind of hit this point where they realize, like, what I'm wearing is not practical for what I'm doing in life. And that's really challenging. So what's a good idea? How do we know when it's time to really edit our closet?
Well, I really think that it's seasonal. It's seasonal not only with the four seasons of the year, but it's seasonal with our life. You know, like the things you can wear when you're pregnant. I remember having that realization. I bought this dress that was like, it works for pregnancy and nursing, but in, you know, or post baby. And I went to nurse in it, and it was nearly impossible, you know, I had to just basically go into the restroom and figure it out. you know, and I think it's important to reassess your style seasonally, because our bodies change. You know, we might go through a health challenge. We might go through, you know, a body change that we didn't expect, or we might move to a place that's colder or warmer or whatever it is. Be open, have an open mind, and don't feel like it's silly to take time to think about this, because, you know, we don't want to be distracted by the clothing. When I'm nursing my baby now, I know, okay, I need to have a button down, even if it is a dress, you know, make sure it's a shirt dress or make sure it's a wrap dress, because those are easier and I don't have to think so much about it. You know, you want to be as present and as comfortable as you can, because then, of course, you just can enjoy your time so much more.
Let's talk a little bit more briefly about how clothing can make women in particular, and all of us, feel happier when we're down. You know, it's easy in the world of COVID or being a stay-at-home mom or working from home not to get ready and then finally go, wait, I don't know why I didn't wash my face, brush my teeth, you know, it happens. Do my hair, do my makeup, put on some nice clothes, rather than just staying in leggings, sweatpants, and a t-shirt or whatever it will be. Why is it important that people are getting ready every day?
I really think when you dress for your day, it dignifies your work. You know, you think of our men and women in uniform, you think of our military. There's something very striking when you see someone really dignified with their clothing. And I think we can do that for a work from home job. And I think it makes all the difference in how we feel. I know for myself, the days that I stay in the pajamas a little too long. And then by the time it's, you know, lunchtime, you think, oh my gosh, no wonder I haven't felt very productive today. Or no wonder I've been kind of, you know, feeling lethargic all morning, or like I couldn't get started. I think there is something to kind of dressing for the occasion of our day. And it very much models to our younger generations how to do that. So I think it's an important thing to do. I'm not saying we all need to wear our, you know, formal clothes on a Tuesday, but I think, you know, taking that time to, you know, put on something that makes you feel ready for whatever it is that you're doing that day does make a difference.
Let's talk a little bit about dressing to the occasion. It's something that we've lost as a culture. You and I were talking about this earlier. You know, I grew up dancing, and we'd have so many friends and family members who would come to a lot of the shows, from the Nutcracker to Swan Lake to, you know, recitals in the summer, showcasing everything. And there were those people who dressed really nice, dressed to the occasion. And there's some people where I'm like, you wore jeans to a theatrical performance, and I just couldn't understand it. But then you take it and you take it to church, you see the same thing. You know, you take it, like, people think that they can wear the same thing to the beach or the grocery store at 10 o'clock on a Friday night as they can to occasions where maybe we should put a little more intention into it.
Yes, I think as a culture, especially Americans have lost their sense of dressing for contexts and dressing for occasions. And so now we just wear the same outfit from the soccer field to mass to brunch with our family and to sleep even. And it's just created this sort of comfortable / you know, informal society that we live in, where it's almost odd if you dress up a little bit, where people will even say, like, oh, where are you going? You know, are you going somewhere after this? But I think, you know, especially when we think about attending mass, we are literally, I mean, St. John Vianney says, if we knew what we were receiving and who we were seeing at mass, we would just, you know, fall on the floor. We would just be crying, you know, of this beauty that we get to receive every Sunday. So we should dress accordingly. You know, we see the beautiful vestments of the church. We see the beautiful architecture and art and marble and stained glass. And all of this is for the greater glory of God. And I think if we can bring back our Sunday best, if we can bring back and teach our younger children how to dress for the playground versus, you know, going out to dinner versus, you know, all these different things and all these different places we go, it does a great service to them when they grow up and they do look, very polished and very professional when it's time to look for work or when it's time to, you know, meet your future spouse or it's, you know, any and all of the above. So, you know, I think it's hard though, because we all around us, that's almost like swimming upstream. You know, it seems very odd to put forth that effort, but I think that should really reflect our Christian dignity and the love we have for God and just knowing that the way we put ourselves out into the world really does make or break what people think of other Catholics.
You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray here on Relevant Radio. What we wear really does influence the confidence we have. It also shows that we're being good stewards of our bodies and the things that we have. And I think that this is so important. You know, Patrick, our producer here, was just commenting that when he did a phone interview, even when he's done a phone interview, he wears a suit. even in that instance. And I think it's a great example because sometimes it's easy in the digital Zoom world to be wearing, you know, a suit or who knows what on top and I don't know what's happening down below. I mean, to be honest, because that's the world we live in with the Zoom virtual reality. But when we dress nice, it actually does make a difference in our confidence and comfort.
It does. It does. Absolutely. And I see it in, you know, in, I think we just have to keep looking to those little kids that have that innocence and they don't have the, jaded experience of the world that we have. They just love to feel put together. Like my little son will walk around wearing a bow tie, you know, for yes. a whole day straight with his, with that. His t-shirt and shorts on, you know, because he feels very handsome in his bow tie and so that's cute. Very sweet. And, you know, I mm-hmm. think that, there is something so special about when you see someone who is just, let's say walking down the street or walking into mass and they're dressed really nice. I especially love when it's older folks and, you know, you just see a very well-dressed older man or a very well-dressed older lady that has like a pretty little pin in her hair. There's just something so like kind of makes you stop and say like, wow, what's their story? What are they all about? You know?
That's Nicole Caruso here on Trending with Timmer. You can check out her book, Worthy of Wearing. We've also tagged her on social media. It's a great book in particular for young women in your life. We'll link to it on our show notes for the podcast. Head over to relevantradio.com/trending to subscribe and share this episode with others. We'll be right back talking about the Holy Spirit and making us happy.
So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timmery on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Understanding and knowing the Holy Spirit in our lives beyond this idea of a dove doesn't really happen in our Catholic faith today. Yet there's this great day that we just celebrated, Pentecost Sunday, where we literally celebrate the birth of the church, but the dwelling of the Holy Spirit in each and every single one of us, the church. And so this week we have a full series on the Holy Spirit as we celebrate, used to be in the old form, in the ancient tradition of the Catholic Church, that we had 8 days in the octave of Pentecost. And so this is what we're doing here together on Trending. So you're joining us during our weekly happy hour. We're going to discuss now why is the Holy Spirit important for our happiness and how can we be more aware of the promptings of the Holy Spirit in our life. There's a quote that I love from St. Francis de Sales. He says, "Those who keep their hearts open to the Holy Spirit are happy." And it's such a simple statement. And so often the statements from the saints are that you go, oh, that's nice. Okay. Those who keep their hearts open to the Holy Spirit are happy. Well, why would a great saint of our church say this? Well, with the Holy Spirit, we won't lack what is necessary to live our state in life and live it well. You see, with the Holy Spirit, we are equipped by God with the grace to accomplish all that we are called to according to our individual states in life, and to do it with great love, with a reverence for God, and to do it devoutly so that we can accomplish each of our duties, whether they're challenging and frightening. Maybe something happened this morning that you had to do that made you really nervous. Or maybe you were crunched for time. Or perhaps there are just things that you don't like to do that you have to get done. You see, the Holy Spirit working in our lives helps us to prioritize. The Holy Spirit working in our lives helps us to be at peace. The Holy Spirit working in our lives helps us to be joyful and patient, humble, generous, kind. You see, when the Holy Spirit is truly working in our lives, when we are open to the promptings of God, it's all a grace. It's all a gift. But we have to be willing and open. We aren't as likely to make compromises in the day-to-day things that we do, that those compromises that go against the truths that Jesus Christ has taught us, against the moral precepts of our faith, those compromises tend to make us a little unhappy, uneasy, set bad habits on a new path of behavior. Those compromises can also lead us to be a little confused about what our responsibilities are in our given state in life. And it leads us to start to justify the types of means we use in order to accomplish our ends. You see, God gave the animals instincts to survive. Isn't it phenomenal that a bird knows how to build a nest and sit on its eggs for quite a long time to keep them warm? Instinctually, the bird knows this. Well, all the more God gives grace to human beings and inspires us in order to live a holy life. Remember that word, inspire, to be in the Spirit. I talked about this a couple weeks ago. We talk about inspiration, expiration in terms of our breathing. To be in the Spirit, to expire in the Spirit. That we are giving in the Spirit and we are receiving in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is truly, think about it. Unite yourself to the Holy Spirit just in your breathing. I love that song. I don't know who wrote it. It's one of the praise and worship songs. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come and dwell in this atmosphere. It's a beautiful song because it's one of those few moments where we really do ponder and invoke the Holy Spirit in our lives rather than seeing cute images with the Holy Spirit symbolized as a dove. There's this book that I recommended earlier because we're going through this series here on Trending to really live this octave of the Pentecost, the coming, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And when we have an octave in the history of the church, this is the moment to ponder, to dwell on, to savor this teaching, this celebration, this feast, and in this case, the giving of the Holy Spirit to us in our lives. There's this book by Father Jacques Philippe titled In the School of the Holy Spirit. And it's such a profound book, super simple, really tiny. It was one of my favorite things that I read last year. And in it, it quoted at one point, Romans chapter 8, verse 14. All those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So if we live and we are led by this Holy Spirit, we're going to live out our baptismal promises. We're going to remember that we are little Christ. We are God's children. When we pray for and are open to the promptings and gifts of the Holy Spirit, this prepares our souls to be divinely inspired. To be open and aware. You see, so often we ignore divine inspiration in our lives because we're not thinking with the instincts of God. You see, the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit are the instincts of God. I remember as one priest once explained it. This is the life of God. And so if we are starting to partake in his life and the great gifts he bestows upon us, then we're going to be more aware when he's inspiring and calling us to a certain action. St. Thomas Aquinas said, "The gifts of the Holy Spirit render all faculties of the soul capable of submitting to the motions of God." So if we have the gifts of the Holy Spirit, this makes us capable of submitting our will to the motion of God in our life. Do you know what the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit are? Do you know what the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit are? This is exactly why we're doing a themed week here on Trending, where we journey with the Holy Spirit to a deeper knowledge and understanding. By the way, knowledge, understanding, those are two of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'll give them to you as a little teaser here. Remember King Solomon, when he's offered anything that he could have, he asks for the gift of wisdom. And although he got it wrong with many wives, look at the great gifts that we have from him in sacred scripture. The writings, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. So here's a question. How can you and I be more aware of the promptings of the Holy Spirit in our lives? We have so much noise going on externally, But also in our minds, I don't know if this is something you struggle with, but here's all this sound from the radio to the podcast to the, and for me, one of the, I hate sound pollution. Even the sound of the refrigerator, I can fixate on the refrigerator and just be so annoyed by that sound because it's a distraction. I think part of the reason why we fixate, or at least I do, on certain sounds is because there's so much noise. We can never have a moment of silence, of peace, of quiet. Our minds are constantly running on what needs to be done tomorrow, what I did wrong today, how I'm going to have this conversation with so-and-so, or how I didn't respond to someone's text message and I'll probably forget to respond for 2 weeks, but I've responded 20 times in my head, right? You see, our lives can get away from us so easily. Father Jacques Philippe, in that book, In the School of the Holy Spirit, talked about three things that can make us awake to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Number one, he emphasized practicing praise and thanksgiving and to not be imprisoned within ourselves. I think that this is really important to remember. Praise and thanksgiving, referring back to our lives and everything we've received. You see, this helps us as we search for meaning in our lives so that we're not just focused on the emotions we're experiencing. And we're talking about this during our happy hour today, so that we're not just focused on the pleasure, that emotion of happiness. In a Stanford study by psychologist Jennifer Aker, she said, happiness was linked to being a taker rather than a giver, whereas this idea of meaningfulness went with being a giver rather than a taker. So what I'm saying here is that people actually lived better lives, were more content when they focused on living a meaningful life, which included giving, rather than living a life focused on happiness that has this idea of taking. I get this and I get that and that. So the other two things I want to emphasize to be more aware of the promptings of the Holy Spirit in your life. Resolve to refuse God nothing. Be obedient to him and abandon himself to yourself to his will. And work on detaching from all the possessions, sounds, and noises that we take up into our lives. Join me this week here as we walk through our series on trending, focusing on the Holy Spirit.